It's That Other Masonic Podcast. Here's Jared Adkins and Todd Whaley.
And welcome back to another episode of That Other Masonic Podcast, Brother Jared Adkins.
No, I'm Brother Todd Whaley.
We are coming to you from Line Lodge 743 in Jasper today.
In beautiful Jasper, Indiana.
Beautiful Jasper, Indiana. The county seat. Man, I am blowing my ears out.
Oh, I'm good.
There we go.
Of course, I'm deaf anyways. It really don't matter.
You are. So, it's been a minute since we've sat on the phone with anybody.
Yeah, we haven't done that in quite a while.
I mean, you know, so today we're going to talk to a brother that's been a huge supporter of the show.
Yep.
He's a Northern Indiana Mason. You'd agree, right? Yeah, Muncie's Northern Indiana, right?
No, he's more of the...
North Central.
North Central, eastern part of the state, yeah.
So,
Muncie, Fairmount area.
So, we're going to go get this brother, and I think we're in store for a treat. You know, sometimes we're often asked how we pick guests, and it just varies. Sometimes it's brothers who's got a great story, brothers who are promoting something. Every once in a while, we just like to talk with brothers that we think we'd get along with.
Yeah.
So, with that in mind, we're going to go get our guests, and we'll be right back. You'll never even know we were gone.
Bye.
And we're back, Todd. They never even knew we were gone.
1 second.
So now we talked about, you know, this guest of ours, and we've got as you said, it's a central northeastern. It's one of those cluster things.
He's on the central.
It's a Muncie Mason, which, if I'm not mistaken, Muncie's Ball State, right?
That's Ball State.
Yes. All right. So without further ado, this has been a guy that's supported the show. He listens to the show. He's a friend of the show. He's friends with me on Facebook. I don't know if he's friends with you or not. Maybe not. Todd can't even remember people's names, let alone who's on his friends list.
I got so many friends on there.
So, brother. Brother, if you wouldn't mind, go ahead and introduce yourselves and run through your Masonic titles for us.
My name is Derek Scheibel. I am the Worshipful Master at Delaware Lodge 46 in Muncie, Indiana. I am the treasurer of my Shrine Club, Merpaw Shrine Club in Muncie, Indiana. I am the guard of the chapter of Gas City number 55 in Gas City, Indiana. And I think that's all I got.
Boy, that's a well-traveled Mason right there, Mr. Whaley.
Yes.
Are you checking Facebook now to see if you are friends with
me? I don't know if I am or not. I don't think I spelled his name right.
I love it because anytime we break, you can always see Todd. He just goes to his phone. He's like, anyways. Well, Derek, thanks for being on the show. And as I said right before we brought you on, sometimes Todd and I are asked how we choose what guests will be on the show. And there's never really a proven formula. We just look at it like, okay, is this a brother who has some incredible story? Is this a brother who's promoting an event? Is this a brother who we think would just make for a good interview that people wouldn't shut off within 5 minutes? Like,
yeah,
it's never really, we're not being selective. Like, there's people all the time with the star, why don't you ever pick me? Well, no offense, but do you meet any of this criteria? You know, but anyways, so it's Todd and I both want to thank you for your support. Oh, yeah, for the show and being a follower and a friend of it. And I guess let's get into this, Todd. Ready? Todd's all excited because TikTok came back today.
Yeah, I'm happy.
We literally just recorded our first episode in 2.5 months, and we were talking about the death of TikTok. And while we were in the middle of it, TikTok came back. So the world melted down and sewed itself back up in 24 hours. Hey, it was even 24 hours.
Just under 12 hours, yeah.
Yeah.
I think I found out about an hour ago that it went down, so I didn't really know.
Well, like I said, we've met a lot of Masons
on TikTok.
And become friends with them, had them on the show and everything, and I was going to miss talking to these guys a couple nights a week. But now that it's back, baby, we're good to go.
Oh, God. Let's focus on Derek and not TikTok. So, Derek, you've been a longtime listener and follower of the show, so you know the way this goes. So, anytime we do interviews, I start with the same exact question, and I'm going to propose it to you. So how and why did you choose to get involved in Freemasonry?
I would say I'm kind of, Jared, like you. I'm a big history buff.
Right.
And it was one of those things where it was reading about it. And nobody in my direct line are Freemasons that I knew of at the time. I grew up two blocks from Clinton Lodge in Frankfort, Indiana.
Okay.
So it was I knew of it. I mean, but if you see that lodge, it's very big, it's very large, but they have windows that's maybe open, maybe 4 inches by 6 inches. So you couldn't really see in the lodge, very locked down. So I didn't know a lot about it, but it was one of those things where I've read about this in history books. I've read about this. And when I finally settled down going from college to college and the Army and all this other stuff, I'm going to join Freemasonry.
So it's thank you for your service, by the way. I forgot to point that out. Todd Derrick is a
veteran.
Sorry, I couldn't think of the word there for a second.
Big word for you.
Yeah. Derrick, thank you for your service. I've never officially told you that. I forgot about that. But one of the things, so you're like me, though, and I'll say this, too. Even though I came from a family of Masons, and you said at the time you didn't know, for somebody that doesn't know, when you go past that building, and I've said it a million times, and I'll say it till I'm in the ground, that square compass in G is one of the coolest logos you'll ever see. You talk about brand recognition and something that reaches out and grabs you. So I imagine you going past that building all the time and seeing that square compass in G, that probably drew you in a little bit, didn't it?
It really did. It was kind of one of those things where it was right across the street from in Frankfurt, the biggest funeral home in town, but it was also next to a gas station that we always went to. So I always saw it, but I never really knew what it was until I started getting into history and reading about George Washington and Ben Franklin and all those other guys that were, I didn't have a clue what it was. I had no idea. I thought it was hey, they got the buildings locked. You can't see in there. You don't know nothing. Don't come to us. So it was kind of one of those things.
Yeah, it's kind of an imposing building, too, because it's kind of made out of dark rock.
Yeah.
Have you been past?
I've never been inside of it. I've been past it several times.
It's like a dark, dark brown with the windows. The windows are covered with like a sandstone.
Yeah.
So you've been past Delaware Lodge, you personally, when you lived up north.
You talk about Clinton Lodge.
Or Clinton Lodge, excuse me, Frankfurt, yeah.
Yeah.
There's a hot dog district in the state. Yeah.
The what district? the hot dog district?
Yeah. The mascot of high school is the hot dogs.
Oh, God.
Yeah. I was a hot dog. I graduated from Frankfurt High.
Hot dog.
Oh, God.
What year did you graduate?
2002.
Okay, so I was way out there.
So he's about 4 years. He's got 4 years on me, and he's about the same as you.
I was 97. So.
Okay, sorry. You are old. I forgot.
I grew up in Tipton, so we're kind of in the same area.
So Derrick, maybe for somebody, this is a question we've never really asked before. I mean, it's common sense, but, I mean, everybody gets to their journey a little different. So when you started, how did you go about petitioning? Who did you talk to? What did you do?
I was one of, I would say not one of the first, but one of my lodge, Delaware Lodge, didn't really use them that much at the time. I was an online, I filled it out online. I did the whole, filled it online. And if you ever get up to Delaware and you see some of the stuff that we don't have much, but, if you ever get up there, there's the guy that sends out Pettigrew.
Mike Pettigrew.
He's a great brother.
Absolutely. And he is the kind of the internet guy, but he's also the guy that does lodge visits for getting brothers and stuff like that. And he was like, you were one of my first that I've actually seen to get all the way to the master's chair.
Oh, wow.
So,
see, and I love Pettigrew because, anything south of Bloomington, really, Jackie Ash covers.
Yeah.
But Pettigrew will do it for the entire state.
Yes.
And we've talked to Mike in person a couple times at some of these events. We'd love to have Mike on the show sometime.
Oh, yeah. I said Mike a lot.
I don't think people understand Masons who don't live in the state of Indiana, who are in other states, and we have plenty of them that listen to us all over this country and all over the globe.
Right.
Pettigrew is one of the hardest working Masons in the state of Indiana, because to compile that list, I've talked to people that I've never personally asked Mike how he does it, but I've talked to Mason, say he's emailing people, he's calling people. Well, he's like, what do you got going on this week?
Too.
Yeah. So
I used to email him for Grotto stuff all the time.
That takes a lot of work to put that list together.
Oh, yeah.
So. Well, and he also does he's four or five different lodge visits for four or five for membership. He travels for four or five different lodges. Almost, he's pretty much there probably half of our stated meetings, all of our degrees, his lodge, which is
Lapel
Fellowship Lodge, which is the same thing as Tyler Whitaker's. So they're busy in their own right.
I thought he had Lapel.
No, he was at Lapel, but he's also down at Fellowship, so he's there too. So, you know, as busy as they are, as busy as we are.
That's another lodge we need to go to. I know Derek wants us to come up, but yeah, everybody, Fellowship Lodge gets mentioned a lot across this state by other Masons. We need to go there just once, whether it's to a meeting or just to record, but we need to go to Fellowship once.
And don't get me wrong, Fellowship is a beautiful, but there is two beautiful lodges in Anderson alone, because you have Mount Moriah and you have Fellowship.
I've been to Mount Moriah.
Both gorgeous lodges.
Mount Moriah is one that's a pyramid.
Yes.
Okay, so since you point out that my geography sucks
very much so,
and I mean you're technically a Southern Indiana you're technically an Indiana transplant in general, coming from Missouri,
right?
But using your geography, because you say mine sucks, how far of a drive is it from Kokomo to Anderson?
Oh, probably 4 or 5 minutes an hour.
So basically, like us driving to Evansville,
basically.
Okay, well that's not far then.
No, it's really not. I mean, it's one of those things where you have so many lodges around here. It ain't gonna, you ain't gonna be too far off from it.
See, that's the only thing about Masonry that I don't want to say I ever get envious or jealous of in Freemasonry, because there should be no envy or jealousy in Freemasonry at all. But the bigger markets, the bigger cities, more opportunities for Masonry. Huh. Where we're at in the redneck southern part of the state, there's not that much. I mean, there's three lodges in our county. There's a couple lodges. There's, a handful of lodges in the surrounding counties. But I'm talking about more of that metropolitan look, where in Indianapolis, you can see Masonry 6 days a week if you want to. Oh, multiple times a day if you want to.
You also got to remember, Anderson used to be a lot bigger town.
Right.
Yeah. It used to be a big city.
They used to have the big factories and stuff up there.
And they had three lodges, and a lot of times there were two lodges per building.
Right.
And everything. Yeah. And
we had that. We had that in the past in Muncie. I mean, there was, for a while there was three lodges in one building. And there was, D. Malay was there, Job Sutter's was there, three lodges, Eastern Star, were all sharing the same building. Yeah. And there was a York Rite.
Now, do you guys meet in the big ball building downtown anymore?
No. We sold that. We built a building right next to the Shrine Club, and we share a parking lot with the Shrine Club.
Now, you knew the Ball Brothers, the Ball Mason Jars?
Yeah, you told me about that.
Yeah, they started Ball State. They were all Masons. And they built a, seven-story lodge in downtown Muncie?
Counting the basement, it's pretty close to that. I don't know if it's seven, but I know it's
six,
five.
Seven stories?
Yeah, I've never been inside it. They say it was an absolutely beautiful building.
Is it there now?
It's there as far as I know.
It's still there. It's still there now. All the rooms are still pretty much the way they were before. There was a commandery room, a chapter and council room, three lodge rooms. Job's daughter had a room. D. Malay had a room. All of this stuff had their own room.
Back when Borg Warner and the LLR factories going in the area were going, there was membership available. Now it's just jobs are a little slimmer now. There's not many people there that used to be.
So, Derek, here's usually Todd's first question, but I'm going to steal it. So as you know where this is going, we love people that follow the show because they know the format, which we're terrible. We don't really have a format, but anyways, so what kept you coming back? I mean, you signed the petition, you got accepted, you started going through the degrees, you become a Master Mason, a lot of guys, and we're not throwing shade at anybody. It's just proven fact by the state of the fraternity as a general. I mean, some guys, they get it. They're a Master Mason. They can wear the insignia, but they don't ever come back. I'm not saying they don't pay their dues. They may pay their dues on time every year, but you don't ever see them. What kept you coming back instead of just being a sideline, dues payer?
So the gentleman that was my mentor was our master of our lodge that year.
Go ahead and give him a plug. We always like when people plug everybody.
He's passed away, so it's his name's Tracy Fruitt. He passed away about a year after I got my went through my Master Mason. I got my Master Mason May 19th. He went in for surgery May 26th, and I think he lived maybe a year after that, but he had all kinds of problems from the surgery. So
I hate to hear that, brother.
Yeah. So, but we were studying 5-6 nights a week all the time. And the week he told me that I was getting my Master Mason, that same night I'm putting you in the junior deacon chair.
Nice.
Whoa.
Okay. So it was one of those things where he knew that I loved it, and I really was enjoying it and loved doing it. Never missed a meeting, got my rookie award 6 months after that, was going to lodges. I couldn't get enough. I still can't get enough.
Right. Yeah.
You know, that's one thing I've never told you. I don't think I have. But I have not went through the chairs in order. Now, you got to think about this. Either. You got to think about this. And I love saying this because it's so cool. When did I get raised? 2/29/2008, right? So I never my thing. And then, of course, I was gone 8 years for night shift. You know, I left in 2012 and didn't come back till, you know, 2021 or whatever. But I've been a junior deacon 2 or 3 years. I've been a senior deacon. I was a senior steward. Junior warden for 2 years, worshipful master last year and this year. But like, I've missed like one of the stewards' chairs. I've missed the chaplain chairs. Nobody wants the treasurer secretary job.
No, I don't know.
I've missed the senior warden stuff. I missed the Tyler. But like, I have not went. And to me, I love it when it goes in consecutive order. I know that frustrates some people because that takes them a while for them to go through all the chairs. I was fortunate, but like, I bebopped all around.
Well,
like,
when you go through again, you get through the right way.
That's Todd telling me if he gets to the East when December comes for elections, he's like, I'm going to put you as junior steward.
Yep.
Yeah.
We need more comfortable chairs then.
Yeah.
That's the mark of a good lodge right there. If they've got fat friendly chairs, that's my only requirement.
Well, I went from senior steward, senior deacon, junior warden, master.
Yeah.
That's a bit of a jump.
I did 4 years of master.
Well, I mean, I didn't jump around as much, but I skipped the stewards. I skipped the Tyler. We had a guy that we gave it to award, I think, 2 years ago, and he'd been Tyler for 45 years, something like that.
That's just works. Because that's them guys that even during the meeting, they sit outside the door and they open it partially so they can hide behind the door and take a nap. You know what I'm talking about. Yeah. You Tylers know.
Oh, yeah. Yeah. Well, and you would close lodge, and before you get done, he's gone.
Yep. So, or the best one I ever saw is a Tyler was a – they would do a closed lodge, and he opens it up, and he goes, you guys ready to open yet?
Oh, my God.
It was a joke, but it was the funniest damn thing in the world.
Yeah. But, yeah, and to be truly honest, I joined in 2021, so I went kind of quick. Up to the master's chair.
So yeah, so I've been in longer than you. Of course, Todd's been in a long time too. I've been in 16 years now.
I've been 24.
16 years next month. So, yeah.
So 24 for me.
So you'll be getting a 25 year pin next year.
Yep.
So Derek, here's another question. I don't think I've ever proposed to anybody before, but we'll go ahead and throw it out to you. So, you know, you've heard me talk about my journey into the York Rite and how I'm glad I waited, you know, 15 years after joining to petition something. So, but let me kind of spin that to you just a little bit. Are you, you know, kind of happy now that you waited so many years to petition to become a Mason? Does it mean a little bit more now to you than it would say if we were running around in our 20s and stuff again?
Absolutely. I mean, I lived the Army life. I mean, did you hear about the Army? I was drinking every night of the week. I couldn't imagine 18, 21, 22. I was a bartender.
Let's say you were serving your country, but you were living the nightlife, basically.
Oh, absolutely. Yeah. Absolutely.
And there's nothing wrong with that.
No, there's not. But I think to what Derek's saying, and it's me with the York Rite, it just, if you're going to go in and you're going to be committed to what a Mason is, that's fine. Mm-hmm. Now, here, I'm not going to say I was a straight eight. You know, I went in, you know, when I was initiated, I was 20 years old. I didn't turn 21 until 6 months after I became a Master Mason. But, like, I look back at that kid, and I'm going to say kid because I might have been legal age, but I wasn't no grown ass man. I was a kid. The dumb things we did, the dumb things I used to put on the early days of social media. I had my Facebook account in 2007. I still had a MySpace. You'd look back. I guarantee, and you know what I'm talking about. If you'd see those posts now, you'd cringe. You would cringe. And it's like, I put that on there, and that's why I'll never forget Ron Wiseman, my junior deacon, you know, what Ron's dad, Emmett, said to me. He goes, you got to remember. He goes, that square and compass license plate on the front of your truck, that decal on the back of that little Ford Ranger. He said, everybody's going to see that. So when I'm leaving town at 21 years old with them decals on the truck and I'm pulling a set of posies and that little bitty 4.0 Ranger, it had 373 gears in it, leaving black marks all over 64 there right in front of the lodge, you know, you're not thinking about what you're doing.
Yeah, but
do I wish I would have waited? No, I don't. But do I wish that I would have what I have now as far as the mindset about what being a Mason is and how to present myself? Yes. Yeah. Because, 20-year-old Jared was just a douche.
I was 24. I was 24, and I was burned out of the bar scene then by that time. So
that's probably part of the reason why you don't drink as much anymore now is because you're married and you're like, man, I was wild.
No, man.
You grotto boys know how to party.
I was wild. I'll give you that. But it was a lot of times, slowed down my drinking a lot. It was the rule I told myself about drinking and masonry.
I know, but I love what happened at Founders Day.
Yeah. Which, if I have anything to do with Lodge, I do not drink.
I'm going to repeat this.
Afterwards, another story.
I'm going to repeat this one more time for people that might have missed it on our last recording sessions at Newburgh.
Oh, that was
when terrible. I told Todd, when we were going up there for Whitaker's presentation over at the Grand Lodge building, and I'm like, Todd, we were at lunch. We went to Del Toro's because we love Mexican food.
El Toro's.
Todd, like, I'm... what are you doing? He said, I'm going to get a beer. He said, it's not like we're going to be in a tiled lodge later.
Right.
All right. Todd don't drink much, whatever. The look on Todd's face when I said, Todd, they're putting aprons on. This is a tiled. He's like, well, what?
Yeah.
The color left this man's face. Great.
I could imagine.
I wouldn't study ritual if I was drinking. I wouldn't touch my bus.
I wouldn't either.
Go lodge or anything if I was drinking. And our grotto is another story because that's all we really did. The grotto would drink. But, I mean, it just a rule I always had myself. And, you know, if I had a beer, for dinner or lunch or something like that, I wasn't going to lodge that night. I mean, that's how it was. But then I thought it was just going to be a presentation by Tyler Whitaker. I didn't know they were going to open the Dwight L. Smith
Lodge Research.
I totally
missed that memo.
So, Derek, you know, being an Army veteran and now being a Mason, we've had people on the show in the past. Hell, we just had Brother Juan for Veterans Day and Drew Seitz, when we did our Newburgh sessions. They were talking, but, you know, we always like to get every military member's opinion. What kind of links between being a military veteran and joining Freemasonry did you see? I mean, a lot of it's got to be about mindset fellowship, and fellowship and brotherhood and focus and all that stuff. Am I correct?
Absolutely. Number one, it's got to be the brotherhood. I'm some of those guys you miss and stuff like that, but you gain new relationships with your brothers at your lodge, at close lodges, lodges around you that you don't have the relationship anymore because you got out of the military. Studying ritual, it's the same way. You know, I read mine every night before I go to bed, unless I've been drinking.
Right.
But usually I read it at least 15 minutes every night before I go to bed.
See, I need to go back to doing that as cracking the books. I haven't cracked them in a while.
I need to.
Go ahead, Derek.
I think I sent you a message one time showing you different things they offer, but I got to the point where I'm only 41, but I could barely read that laying in bed, that little book. And I went with the large print thing so I could read that, and that lays next to my bed. So I have multiple copies of Ritual so I can study it in different places.
Derek sent me a link to a website. I believe it was Engle Marketing or something like that.
Indiana Grand Lodge Marketing.
Yes.
Yeah. Yeah. So there's a lot of stuff available, including the one thing we have shouted out, and Grand Lodge is, they said they were listening. Our Grandmaster said there might be some change to the ritual. All we have asked for is the 1997 monitor to be updated with the funeral lecture. Now, whether that happens or not, but it seems Grand Lodge has listened, because if you remember our Grand Master, local boy, you know, he's one county over he lives, Dave Morgan said that they were looking into updating the monitor. I'm not taking credit for that, but I am going to take credit for that because that's just my ego talking. But
yeah, it is.
So you can find all sorts of stuff there. Look to the east.
On Kindle.
So, you know, a couple episodes ago, you know, when we were, you know, our last session of recordings was a marathon session we did at Newburgh.
Yeah, Newburgh, yeah.
Yeah, we did that the day before Veterans Day. And two of the guys we talked to that day were veterans.
Yep.
Was
one's
active, and then Drew Seitz. Now, Drew, his wife reached out to us after we recorded. She would love to come on the show and talk about it. Drew said he was suffering from traumatic PTSD from the military, and nothing was working. And then he got involved in Freemasonry, and he said he became a completely different person, and a lot of the PTSD subsided because of that. So I was going to kind of just, you know, I'm not going to come out and ask you if you're suffering or if you've suffered, but I'm guessing, you know, the things you guys go through in the military, you know, sometimes it might be hard to open up, but if you join a fraternity like Freemasonry, do you feel more comfortable talking to brothers about things that you've been a part of and things you're going, like, I guess what I'm saying is Drew said having a group of guys around him made it easier than to sometimes talk to just a single person by themselves, because of the camaraderie you're taught in the military, you find that same sort of counterpart here in Freemasonry.
Yeah, and absolutely. Mine is not so much as a PTSD, but I fell 40 feet in the air in the Army.
Oof.
And I'm pretty beat up, broken, stuff like that. If you look at me, you wouldn't know, but I've also had, I get supply and they're like, hey, there's no rounds in the chamber. And they pulled like a field artillery round and pulled it. And there was one in there and it went off and I didn't have any ear protection. And so I get ringing in the ears all the time.
Ooh.
And I stood up, I want to say about 2 or 3 months ago, and I stood up and I about collapsed. Like it starts ringing and I lose all sense of balance. I about fall down. And for me, it's easier with my brothers to be like, because I don't like to tell people out in the open that much, but my brothers, I'm kind of like, hey, guys, if you see me do that again, get ready to catch me because I'm going down. And I'm not a small guy. I'm 300, 315, 320. I'm a big boy. So, you know, it's not easy to catch somebody my size with one, two guys, especially if they're 175, 180, 200 pounds.
Derek, if you don't mind me asking this, how many years were you in the military?
I was in for 9 years.
Were you overseas?
No, I was there for a little bit. Then I was there for 3 months, or I took several years off, and then I decided to go back in, and then I waited, and then I did it. And they made me go through basic training a second time when I was 35 years old.
Oh God,
should be illegal, right there. I'm not saying you veterans don't keep yourself in good shape, but if I did something and passed it in my 20s, I don't want to have to try it again in my 30s because I don't know if I could do it again.
Man, I ain't going back here 2 days again. I love
you. You know, somebody said to me somebody said to me before, like, you know, why don't you go back to Waupaca? I said, because I did 10 years down there. I said, and here's the thing. I said, I don't think I can pass the physical now. I said, you got to go through a lot to go work at that steel mill.
It's not easy.
And I did okay. But, I mean, they shortened it down instead of 10 weeks. We did it six weeks because we were all prior service. They gave us every Sunday off. But we would do multiple events every single day.
Oh, God.
Where normally you do, like, one event. You do one obstacle course one day, where we would do – there was a couple days where it was like two obstacle course and like gas chamber, or it was classes in the afternoon. And then, you know, we're rope climbing or, you know, stuff like that where you normally wouldn't do that. So,
oh, wow. I could imagine. It's like those guys.
And I was young. Twice. I was one of the younger, I was one of the younger ones. I mean, guys were sitting there talking about, you know, I need two more years. I need five more years and I'm 55. I'm 52.
Oh God.
Cause the rule was, when we all went back in, it was you had to get your 20 years by the time you were 60. So, you know, if you needed 5 years, you could be 55 years old. and enter back in. They would talk about, these are the pictures of my grandkids and, you know, stuff.
Just
like,
stuff you don't want to hear, right?
I didn't know that even happened.
Not that you don't want to hear it. It's just you don't hear people in basic training talking about their grandkids and, you know, their job back home and how, you know, they're just doing this to finish out their 20 years.
Wow. I'd been like, you know what? Nine's good enough for me. We're all done. Just whatever, you know. Sorry, I'm not going through basic again at 35 years of age.
It beat us up. So
during the nearly decade you spent in the military, it's safe to say you probably weren't really thinking about Freemasonry a whole lot. But during the course of your military career, did you ever come across people that were known Masons, or did you find out after you got out, oh, well, that person was a Mason and I didn't know about it?
Not really. I mean, every once in a while, I would see like a ring or something like that on a guy, but it was usually some high lieutenant colonel that, you know, when you're in the, you're enlisted, you just try to stay away. Mm-hmm. But, you know, those guys, maybe a little bit. I do have one gentleman. He's in Greenwood. He was my section commander when I was in the first time. He is actually going through his degrees at Greenwood. He just got his EA a couple months ago, and he hasn't gotten his fellow craft or his Master Mason, and he's at Greenwood. So
nice.
I'm going to try to go to his Master Mason when it happens down in Greenwood.
Outstanding.
So, that'd be a good thing. That'd be a good time right there.
So let's talk a little bit about the appendant bodies now here. So, I mean, you said you were, you know, you were raised in 21, so you've been in basically 4 years. So how long did you wait before you started petitioning the appendant bodies, and what drove you to petition the appendant bodies and everything?
The first one I did was the Shrine here in Muncie, and it is a very busy, busy Shrine Club.
What is the Shrine up there called?
Murfa.
Murfa?
Murpaw. Yeah.
Murpaw, yeah.
Murpaw, it's up here, and it is a very, very busy club. A lot of stuff going on.
Is that its own temple, or is it connected with like the Marat?
It's attached to the Marat.
Okay.
Look at you, Northern Central Masons.
So
talking.
It's basically a satellite club of the Marat. So okay.
Yeah, but it's very. But like, we have a meal every Friday night. We have the Water Buffalo degree coming up in February 2nd, and then we have a Super Bowl party on the 9th, and then we have a Valentine's Day on the 14th, walk a mile in my shoes, which is an event for the town, on the 15th, and, you know, St. Patty's party, and then just rentals on top of that.
Yep.
So it is very, usually Friday and Saturday night, almost every Friday and Saturday night I'm out here. But when I first joined, or was talking about joining, they were getting to the point where they had a group of 50 or 60 year olds that were doing it for 10 years. And just kind of, well, I'm done. I've had enough. I can't do this anymore.
Yep.
Why? I want to know right now, why did you make that face when he said Water Buffalo? Because I always make the joke for people that don't know. They're like, what are you doing? Oh, I got a meeting at the old Water Buffalo Club. Why did you make that dumb look on your face? What's the inside joke there?
It's a fun degree that I haven't got yet. I've been wondering when someplace close is going to have it.
So you know what he's talking about, kind of.
Yeah.
See, I just always make the joke, I got a water buffalo meat, because I think of the Flintstones.
Right, that's where I come from.
But you made a stupid look on your face. This is why we need to be video. I've put it off so long because I hate video editing, even though I work in TV and radio every day. I wish people could have seen the look on your face. You were like a little devilish kid just rubbing his hands together with glee, the mischief he's going
to
cause.
I'm just waiting for someone to have it close.
Continue. I just wanted to know. I just wanted some clarification there.
No, it is. It's a fun degree. I found online and found out there's a group from Ohio that will travel to anywhere that you want as long as it's within like a 3 or 4 hour radius.
All I'm going to say is I don't know what he can say about this degree without giving too much away. We all knew the rule of thumb of the line we have to walk on these podcasts. But if there is not water buffalo hats being worn at this degree, it's a complete waste of time.
Oh, I do.
Okay.
There is.
Okay. Yeah, I do.
I'm saying. That's my only requirement.
Yeah, everybody gets a water buffalo hat for doing the degree.
That's like that yellow dog thing you're always talking about, whatever that is. Yellow dog,
turtles.
I don't know any of that stuff.
The believers, you know, I was fun to agree.
Yeah.
Okay. But yeah, it was one of those things where they're so busy that, you know, you do 10 years out here, it's like doing 25, 30 years at your lodge. It's very, very intense. And, you know, we had a rental last night. We have in February, the first week, I think we have stated meeting and three rentals and Friday night and then a rental Saturday. And, you know, it's from the water buffalo to the following thing. I think we have like five things out of 6 days. So you know,
a well-oiled machine happening there sometimes. Yeah.
Yep. And I mean, that's why we have somebody in charge of the kitchen, somebody in charge of this, somebody in charge of cleaning, some treasurer, secretary, bar in charge. So you just have to do that so you can spread it out so you're not overwhelmed.
Yeah. What are you in charge of anything in the building?
I am. I'm the treasurer.
Okay.
So I keep all the funds together and make sure we're not going crazy.
Well, being that busy, you guys, you know, stuff like that, it makes it fun. That's how my grotto was back in the day. It's like every 3 days we'd have something going on, a rental, a party, a stated meeting, a fish fry, a pork chop dinner.
Yeah.
Makes it fun. It makes it where it's more active and everybody wants to come get involved into it because you're having so much fun doing this stuff. And
And that's the other one, fish fry May 8th or March 8th. And they're talking about doing a thing with Widow Sons to do a ride for the hospital this summer. We have our golf outing. We raised that little over $11,000 for the hospital last year.
That's great.
So, you know, it keeps us very busy. So, and then I went into the following year, my lodge, around here, we have a gentleman in York, right? His name is Russ Strom. I don't know if you ever heard of him.
Yes, I've heard of him before.
Okay. He is very much into, he's in charge of like the York rights around the area, but he is very much into let's do Mark Masters on the road.
Oh, wow.
And at my lodge, he did a Mark Master on the road and I was hooked instantly. I was like, where can I continue? What can I do? Where can I? Yeah. And that's why I went into York Ride, is I just saw that first degree and I was like, I need more.
Yeah. It kind of sucks you in, doesn't it?
It did. Absolutely.
I mean, it was an experience, but like, you know, I waited 15 years to join the pennant body. And, you know, like I've said on past episodes, and I don't regret doing that. I do realize that I missed out on, you know, 15 years of extra, I'll call it extra masonry, but
further light,
good word, good phrase. But to learn the origins of some of this stuff, and I'm telling you right now, you know, we all know the second half of the Master Mason degree is the most beautiful thing in Freemasonry, but I'm telling you right now, that Royal Arch degree, and I still think about that when I took that. I think it was I took my KT in August. I think I got my Royal Arch degree, I don't know, sometime around January or April last year, whenever it was. I was beating the Lamberson twins to the words because I was putting it together in my head. Like, I was literally excited. It was almost like I was a damn kid back in school again. And I was at one point, one of the Lamberson twins was like, hold on, just hold on, because you see it coming together all before you. And like, I was like, man, I learned a new skill. I learned a little bit of basically, without breaking the wall and giving too much away, it's like almost like I learned a code language almost, you know?
Yeah, you did.
And I learned, and I was like, so I came out of that and Todd asked me, you know, he texted me the next day and goes, how was it? I'm like, man, I think I like that more than I did the Master Mason degree. I mean, it was just amazing.
Yeah.
And I love it. I mean, I haven't had a lot of time. I took my KT in August or September. I haven't had a lot of time yet these first 4 or 5 months to devote to the York Rite. I'm going to make that a bigger part of me this year. But again, as I just said in a previous episode, Blue Lodge has to come first for me. It's the foundation. If there's a conflict of interest between choosing York Rite or Blue Lodge, York Rite's going to lose that every time. Mm-hmm. So what made you decide then that you wanted to get involved in the York ride? How did that come about?
Like I said, it was that Mark Master on the road, and
that was what it was for you.
It was, and I told him, I said, I want to eventually, you know, I want to go into that high priest position. I've done most of the chairs for Blue Lodge. I'll help out as needed, but I kind of want to, like, I don't want to be in one of the primary seats again, or if they need me to be, I will, but I kind of want to push myself into those chairs in the York right and get those, you know, done, you know, checked off the old checker, you know, box. So, but, you know, I like learning parts. I'm not real good at learning lectures, but I can learn parts really well. Mm-hmm. So, you know, it just adds to, I can do this, I can help out here. Somebody calls me and say, hey, I need something done here. Okay, I can see if I can't do the part for you.
That's how you get involved in having to come and visit lodges to do the stair lecture if you're not careful.
I'm not, like I said, I'm not good at lectures, but, you know, you give me parts, give me a little, you know, give me a couple days notice, I'll learn the part for you.
Yeah. I mean, I guess, technically I'll do anything because Todd made us be the craft once, but my thing's the crossfire. It just, I've said it on almost every episode. That's, and I just liken that back to the memories with my grandfather.
Right.
You know?
Yeah.
And that's why I don't really do it in the Master Mason degree. Todd accuses me of it's because I don't know that lecture, but I say it's just because I just like watching that whole degree as a whole and not being involved with it.
You're scared of your mess up?
I don't really care. I just like watching it. But no, the crossfire is my favorite thing to do. It's just fun. It's fun. And of course, the thing with any ritual, it's the look you get from people that are seeing it for the first time. That's when awesome. You're performing, where they're like, how are they, where are they reading this from? It's like, they got this secretly written on their hand in invisible ink, or like, what's going on here? It's like, no, we learn this and commit it to memory.
Yep.
Yeah, absolutely. So.
So.
Yeah, and I don't mind doing, I'm not great with crossfires, but I'll do them. I mean, I'll try my best. So.
So, I mean, you're an active Mason, you're a veteran. I don't know what I was going to say. I just lost my train of thought. Let's shift gears. Derek, so let's talk a little bit about your involvement in these appendant bodies a little more. You know, you're talking about how you're not necessarily going to take a back seat in Blue Lodge, but you would like more freedom to be more active in the appendant bodies. So you are going to kind of ease off of, you know, sitting in chairs sort of in the Blue Lodge. Do you feel like you're happy with the appendant bodies you're in? Are you looking at other appendant bodies? Are you content with where you're at right now?
I don't know if I'm content. I scroll through Facebook and I keep getting these posts from Scottish Rite of, hey, Scottish Rite, on, you know, night at the Scottish Rite.
I see them all the time too.
Man, I want to see it so bad, but you know, it's, the wife is kind of, are you sure you have the time to, you know, it's one of those things. I get that. Are you sure?
Mrs. Scheibel's a very patient and understanding woman. This would be the part where you say this in case she ever hears it.
She is very, very understanding. But part of also why I joined the Shrine Club was the ladies are very active in it too. So they have their own part in the Shrine Club of helping us do events and helping us do that. So it gave her something to do. So I'm not just going to lodge by myself. And, you know, that first year I went through as a junior deacon, we did, I seven through all the way through Master Mason.
Wow.
So, you know, she was not very happy.
Do you guys have a star chapter up there at your lodge?
We do. We do have a star chapter. She's not
interested.
Not interested, but
my wife isn't either.
And it's nothing against the women. They're just not her age. A lot of them are a little bit older. Where what we call them Fez mates. Some of them call them daughters of the Nile something like that. And we call them Fez mates, and they're more her age, so she gets along with them a lot better.
Yeah. See, that's what I was telling you about. Like, you know, Jill loved doing this grotto stuff with you. Mm-hmm. And it's like, well, if she enjoyed these times with you, like, right there's the star. Like, why hasn't she? And you're like, well, in her mind, it's not really the same thing.
Yeah, it's not. You're not going to sit down and have a couple of beverages and gossip about everybody.
Jill liked going to the events and the outings.
Oh, yeah.
And,
she loved all that stuff.
Well, yeah, plus, you grotto people are just wild.
We're nuts.
That, and she's, I mean, they're talking about doing a prom here at our Shrine Club. So she's like, well, maybe if I get a formal dress and then... our potentate up in Mizpah at Fort Wayne was like, I really want you there at our potentate's ball in July. I'm like, that's another reason for her to get a formal dress.
Dress to the nines event there.
Yes, absolutely.
It's like one of those Prince Hall things I always talk about. Them guys, I swear. Shout out to TikTok. Here we go with another reference to TikTok. Which is back again now. Yeah. But them Prince Hall Masons, business meeting, not even an agree, just a stated, let's pay the bills business meeting. Mm-hmm. Tuxedos and suits and everything. I'm like, what are you guys doing? Yeah. Like, we come to stated meetings in cut-off jean shorts and sneakers.
Never had my choice.
You're going to implement a dress code.
I will not come in shorts. I no matter what I do, I will not show
Todd,
up in shorts.
Nothing. Todd is pretty lenient on everything, but when he sees somebody show up to a business meeting, he doesn't say much. But he's seen people show up to degrees in sandals and khaki shorts, and he's about has a conniption fit.
I will draw the line. I will not wear shorts. I will not wear khakis. I wear at least jeans. So
usually I have jeans and boots on, don't I? Usually.
Sometimes. Yeah. You came in basketball shorts and a dirty t-shirt.
I came in a basketball shirt for a stated meeting. Hey, I don't care. I was busy.
Yeah, dressing up.
I'm usually running from work, so it's usually jeans, and then I change my shirt into a, you know, whatever polo I'm doing that night. So.
Well, like I tell people, like, it's just either you put on a pair of dress slacks or a pair of blue jeans.
Yeah.
Right.
It's easy to button up a shirt. It's pulling over your head. So
it's not very often, you know, I'm not dressed.
The you walked in with flip flops and a basketball shorts and a dirty t-shirt. Not even a clean t-shirt. A dirty, stained t-shirt. It's like oil. You've been running around in oil all day.
I was busy.
Yeah, busy.
Yeah. I will at least throw on a polo, but my biggest problem is keeping track of what color polo is, what organization, and.
Had that problem before.
Yeah, because I have three for I think I have three for the Shrine. I have three for three different colors for York Rite, and I have three or four for my lodge. So it's kind of like, okay, which did I grab the right red one? Did I grab the right black one?
So Derek, I want to talk a little bit about mentorship. You know, one of the questions we always ask everybody, and, you know, you talked about your lead mentor passed away about a year after you, you know, so we are sorry for your loss there, but what we do on this show, and you know, is we sometimes like to give people the chance to give a little shout out because Masons generally are not clout seekers. So we like to be able to take that opportunity to shine some light on some Masons who otherwise would remain hidden. But everybody has usually more than one mentor. There's a guy that they've learned a lot from, or a guy that's helped them, or just a Mason they've met in passing. It's like, that's a general guy where I would send people to this person if they needed a little bit of help. So what we like to do is, you know, we talk to Masons all over the globe, is who are some of those Masons that you've met that, you know, have impacted you, or somebody that you think's very devout in their knowledge and that you would send other people to?
My first one would be past Grandmaster George Ingalls Jr.
George.
Great Mason.
Very knowledgeable man.
Absolutely. Lives, I think, 5 minutes away from me. Doesn't live very far. So it's one of those things. He belongs to so many stuffs. He's Grandmaster, Grand this, Grand that. So I think the only thing he hasn't been grand of is chapter, because I know he was in charge of council. He was in charge of all commandery. So.
Yep. He was a grandmaster year. I was master. He had to come up and slap our hand one time. He wasn't grandmaster. He was a grand officer, but they sent him over to us to slap our hand. We did something wrong one time.
Yeah, he is very absolutely probably one of the most that I look up to today. Another gentleman would be Cliff Henderson. Very knowledgeable, knows, is one of the 2,000 point ritualists. Yep. Knows every bit of that book in and out, and can give anything, and will drop and try to be there if you need it.
Hey Todd, you know how I always say if you got the word past PM behind your, or the letters PM, that's my. You know what else carries a little bit of weight? 2,000 point ritualist.
Yeah,
that carries a little bit of weight.
Yeah,
good lord. I don't know this Mason. I haven't heard this name. I'm not saying. Sometimes there's names out there that Todd and I just haven't interacted with or have never heard in passing.
I think I've met Cliff once.
But 2,000 point ritualist, that's that carries some weight right there, brother.
Yeah. He's on Facebook. I mean, he does have a Facebook page. If you ever get time, search him. He knows there is nothing that man doesn't know.
This would be one we need to talk to.
I think I sat and lodged him one time. I can't remember.
You know what we're going to do? We're going to put Derek on the payroll and have him set that up.
Payroll.
We've put David Bricky on the payroll now, yeah. And now we're putting Scheibel on the payroll.
Who's getting paid here?
Oh, that's right. We don't make any money off this. Shocker for everybody out there that thinks Todd and I are rolling in the dough. We make no money off this podcast because we choose not to monetize Freemasonry.
It costs us money.
It costs us money. $17 a month at a minimum.
Anywho,
who else you got, Derek?
A gentleman by the name of Kenny Adams.
Don't know him.
He knows quite a bit. He's one of probably the most that I can be like, hey, Kenny, I need a stair lecture. I got you. Or I need you to set in the east. I got you. Okay. Right. So he does quite a bit. I want to say between, we have two cities to our east, Parker City and Farmland. And he's been the master of those lodges like 7 times total. He just goes from like senior warden in one to the master of the next one and then back. And so he's one of those that he can very much do pretty much any part that I ask.
I think every area has somebody like that.
Yeah.
Every area state has somebody who just knows how to do everything in the book and does it well.
Hello, our secretary.
That's what I'm saying.
Philip Atkins. Yeah. He spells his name the wrong way, though. I spell mine the correct way. Mine's A-T. His is A-D.
It's been who you ask.
Them West Virginia people, man, they're just a different breed.
By God.
Right. But no. we had a gentleman at our lodge. His name was Bill Waters, and we lost him this past July, and he was another one of those 2,000-point ritualists. Knew everything, but he didn't like to do it, but he could do it. He would come in and he'd be like, yeah, I'm doing this. And he's like, no, somebody else is here. They'll do it for me.
Right.
You're the junior warden. No, somebody else can sit in that chair. But he knew every bit of it.
They've done it. They don't have to do it anymore.
Exactly. Exactly. But there was 140. We did his Masonic degree and there was 147 Masons that showed up, including Randy Seipel.
Oh, wow.
I love Randy. Amazing. I love Randy. You know, I've got asked by a million different times. I'm sure you too.
Yeah.
Why haven't you guys had Randy on the show yet? Randy is always coming to Bethlehem down in Bird's Eye. Randy likes you guys. Why haven't you had Randy on the show? Well, because Todd and I made the decision in 2023, which has now been 2 turns around the what it you call her ago.
The big sun.
Yeah. We decided in 2023 that we were going to wait until Randy got the Grand Poobah hat. And then we were going to have him on the show. We
did the same thing with Dave Morgan.
Dave's local. Yeah. Dave's one county over from us. Randy, of course, is he's a Central Mason there, whatever. But we decided we're going to wait until Randy wears the Grand Poobah.
And he agreed to that.
Randy, I don't know what this platform would be like if we hadn't got support from Grand Lodge. Okay, we always clarify just so Grand Lodge can protect their behinds and we can too. We are not
affiliated
with the Grand Lodge of Indiana. However, Grand Lodge of Indiana,
they haven't stopped us yet.
Unofficially, I'm not going to say the word endorse because that's wrong. The Grand Lodge unofficially supports us because there is members in that Grand Lodge building, or people that in the Grand Lodge building, there's members of the Grand Line that have been on the show, listen to the show, and support everything we're doing. I don't know what this show would be like if we didn't get, you know, Lentz was really the first one to give us the real rub.
Right.
Richard Lentz. Yeah. And then that took off. And then Roger Van Gordon really gave us the push. Because, you know, Roger's – I'm not saying any of our past grandmasters haven't been, you know, great. For the most part, they all have. But when Roger speaks, to this day, people still listen. Oh, yeah. So when we got the rub from Roger a year and a half, almost 2 years ago, that really changed things for us.
Oh, yes.
Well, when I first started listening to it, I met Roger, but I didn't know him. And I actually got talking to him, and he actually came up in November and did Masonic education for our lodge.
Oh, wow.
So, yeah, that was impressive and a lot to take in.
You want to go ahead and give your plug for Roger's, which Roger's famous thing? Cassius?
Oh, yeah. The
you Cassius can find that on Grand Lodge 2024.
On YouTube.
YouTube. Founders Day, I should say. Founders Day 2024.
Yeah, he gave an outstanding review.
You can also hear it, if you don't want to go watch it, on the back of the tail end of the Roger Van Gordon episode on our in our archive.
Yeah, it's on our Facebook page and everything else.
Yeah, too, Cassius so. Was right.
Yeah, like he's saying, you know, it's not his fault he was made leader. It's our fault for making him leader.
Yeah. Yeah, he did something on, I can't think of the word right now, but it had to do with the Constitution.
Oh, wow.
So it was the original, it was the original founding of like how Freemason started and what it came from. And it's in our monitor and I cannot think of it to save my life.
We can't find it in our monitor. Maybe it's because the last monitor made was 1997. I'm on you, Grand Lodge. I'm on you.
Wasn't that long ago, man.
I was born in 87. That was 10 years. I was 10 years old when we got the new updated monitor.
Yeah, I graduated.
You know what? Right there in that bag. That's not my lodge bag, by the way. That is a diaper bag there.
Yeah, it is.
I just threw some stuff together. That was from when I got snowed in at the station. Monitor in there was Grandpa's monitor. That's a 1975 model. Jesus.
Yeah.
So again, I'm not taking credit for us getting an updated monitor or what's being rumored, but my ego is not going to let me not do it.
No,
so
no.
It's to all Indiana Masons, you're welcome for when we get the updated monitor, if and when it happens. It's my fault because I complain every episode.
Yeah. Anywho, hey, up there at Muncie, you guys have a fun degree come up in August, don't you?
Oh, we have the
Here you go. Look at the smile on your – again, we need to be on video. Look at him cheesing it up over here.
Yeah, sorry, guys. I got so much going on that I forget what I got going on. But we have the Oklahoma Indian team coming here August 2nd.
I love all those guys. Loy England, so many good ones. Loy, all of them. David's a good – they're all great.
Oh, yeah.
All great people.
Yep. We went and saw them over in Altamont, Illinois. And we did a podcast over there, too, and interviewed a couple of them. And luckily enough, we kept in contact with a bunch of them, too, and they're always
– Yeah.
Without giving a lot away, the aprons are just beautiful.
Yeah. So, August – go ahead. I'm sorry.
We talked earlier about that the original ball building. They're actually doing the degree in that building.
Oh, nice.
Wow.
Now, who's in charge of that up there? Who's putting that on?
Me.
Oh, cool.
It's my lodge, and as the master, we started planning for it about June last year.
Okay.
So,
are you going to have a fee for that, or?
It is $25 for the event, and then $25 for the food. The people that are catering the food are the same people back when Super Bowl was in Indianapolis in 2006. They did the Super Bowl catering, so they've done several thousands of people.
Nice.
So they have very good food. And if the NFL can trust them, I'm pretty sure we can.
So you guys are having that in the ball building. It's August the 2nd. What's the time on those?
4 o'clock is the meal. 6 o'clock starts the degree.
All right, good. Well, we may have to come here and do another podcast again.
I was hoping that you would be willing to come up. And,
oh, yeah.
You know what? We might wait, when is it?
August 2nd.
August 2nd.
Bentley's birthday is August 3rd. My birthday's August 5th.
Oh, no, it's 18th or what?
I'm just saying. August is a good month. We could probably go up there. We could make John drive. Shout out our honorary third, John McEwen.
Anything you guys need, you're more than welcome to. You know, my lodge is more than welcome for you guys. The Shrine Club is here.
It's about 3 hours away.
Yeah, they're in the same parking lot.
So we just go up the night before, spend the night, go to the degree, go home.
I got a floor or somewhere you can sleep on. You don't even have to rent a hotel room.
Oh, looky there.
There we got something even better.
That's good.
Yeah, that way we're going to have to plan that, because we definitely want to see him again. We saw him over in Illinois, but it'd be great to see him in Indiana.
They're coming in Friday night, so they'll be here Friday night, and they're here till Sunday morning.
Dang, we're going to go up Friday night now.
That's what I was going to say. We'll go up on a Friday night. The degree's on a Saturday.
We'll dress up with Cowboys this time.
Shout out to
At Refreshment,
who was also there at that event, and the infamous line, let's dress up as Cowboys and Indians. Just, oh, my God. We love every one of them guys at Refreshment. They are the goats of Freemasonry podcasting.
Yeah. Yeah. How can people get in contact to get tickets with you guys?
On our Facebook page, or not our Facebook, our website, DelawareLodge46.org, DelawareLodge46.com. Off to the side, there is a Oklahoma Masonic Indian Degree. You click on that, and you can order tickets on there. You can order either meal ticket, event ticket, or you could purchase them together. So you can order them online. A lot of us are going to start traveling here soon to different lodges, and I'm taking tickets with me. So
these tickets be available for purchase coming up in May at Grand Lodge?
Yes, I will be. I will have to, as master of my lodge, I will be there,
right?
And I will have tickets with me.
All right, we'll find us and we'll buy a couple of both.
Yeah, we'll be there. We will be there at Grand Lodge this year. Because I'm master, I'm going, and Todd's taking off to go with me, and we're gonna. Since Grand Lodge is going back to 2 days this year, we will be bringing the equipment. We haven't brought it the last 2 years or so, so we will be podcasting out on the mezzanine during Grand Lodge.
Yep.
Yeah. I'll probably make Todd my proxy just so I can get out of the room and he can do some of the voting for me.
Not if I vote right.
So,
but yeah, we'll definitely get tickets to you up there. And of course, we expect a discount for podcasting.
Oh, shush. And I think another thing we'll do is we get closer, probably about July or August, or no, not June or July. We'll have him back on the show to remind everybody, and we can just talk more Freemasonry and talk Absolutely. About the degree. And that's one thing that I would like to see done with our lodge this year, and I actually put that on my agenda I gave to the lodge the other night, was I would like to see a special degree, whether it's an outdoor degree, whether it's a traveling degree team coming in. Sometime in 2025, I would like to see our lodge have something like that. Yeah. One of the a brother from a neighboring lodge has a property that they converted into a outdoor lodge for degrees, so we are free to use that at any time at no charge.
It's pretty nice place. I went for an outdoor degree.
You went up there, didn't you? Yeah.
Yeah. It's nothing fancy, but it gets the job done.
It's just great, isn't it?
It's outside. It's shaded. It's a beautiful area. I think we need to have a couple state meetings out there this year.
That'd be cool.
we have, luckily with us, we share a parking lot with the Shrine. And behind the Shrine is a big old wooded area that we can just – they put an awning out there, and they put, like, it's lighted. So if we do it during the night, we can sit out there and have a degree. Or if we it's too many, we can go out into the woods a little bit farther. You can't see it from the road. Nice. So,
you know, Derek, one of the things I love doing with the podcast is, you know, we have Masons that tune in all over the globe. We have Masons that tune in internationally. We have them tune in domestically. But one of the things I love to do is when we get to talk about other lodge buildings and everything going on, and seeing some of the other lodges and the things that they do. And, you know, we give other lodges a chance to talk about their events, and it kind of paints a picture for the listener. So, you know, looking at your year going forward in 2024 or 2025, excuse me, as master of the lodge, what kind of things do you guys hope to get accomplished up there in Muncie this year? Like, what are you, besides that degree, what's on tap going on for you guys this year up at Delaware?
it's been problems in the past. We're number one, we're an old lodge, but we have, I don't like talking about money, but we have the money, right. But we don't have the people.
Right.
And my goal is recruiting. I want to do, like, in April, I want to do it. Hey, you know, this is a breakfast. Come in, see what Freemason's about. Delaware County is kind of like your guys' county in Dubois County, where we have three lodges here in this county. And I have no problem with the other two lodges. Hey, if you want to, you know, you live in Albany, look, there's a lodge in Albany. I'll get you hooked up with there and you can join there. You live on the south side of Muncie, there's a lodge out there on the south side of Muncie. I'll get you hooked up out there. I just want to see people in Freemasonry.
Right.
I want to see Freemasonry grow. I want to see it be what it can be, where it used to be. So, you know, and that's my number one goal, is to do stuff like that. I want to do a Delaware County Freemason event where it hasn't been done in the past. The Shrine has a full bar / full restaurant, food, grill, everything, and they can make what we want, and we could have a meal, and it could be the Freemasons from Delaware County coming together as a group.
That'd be awesome.
I think that would be fantastic.
Me and the other worshipful masters have been talking about doing something like that. I know in the past we've had some problems with, like, Feast of St. John. I think we had 7 at ours. The other one had 15. I don't even know if the other one did it. I would like to do it where we rotate between three lodges, do it all together, just because we have the space and we want to do it.
Well, because, like, here in Dubois County, we've got three lodges. I mean, obviously, we're recording today from Line Lodge 743 in Jasper, you know, graciously allowed us to record here today because our lodge was in use. But, like, that way, I mean, in a way, when you alternate it like that, it's like every lodge gets kind of a seat at the table. Every lodge gets a chance to, I can see your point.
Yeah. Well, and that, just having people there, you know, you don't have to pick, well, I like to help out this lodge, but my lodge is doing it, so why can't we just do it together? Exactly. It's just the same thing. We're all going to it.
We're all working towards the same goal.
Absolutely. Why not do it together? It's just easier. It's better. And we have actually people that show up. And some of those smaller lodges, I forget what it's called, Anthony Lodge in Albany, Indiana. That's what it is. It's not very big. It's not a lot of people. Parker City, it's the same way. Farmland's the same way. They're kind of smaller lodges. Hey, invite them out. Let's do something together.
Yeah.
So, you know.
And that's what I like, too, about the – I mean, you have it in the big cities, but especially in the small towns, the small markets like we're in, the small community lodges, the country lodges, how they all kind of pulled together for things like that. You know, they all – and that's the thing. There's no competition in Freemasonry.
Not really,
no. There shouldn't be. We're all working towards the same goal.
Right.
Yeah.
So
absolutely. Yeah, and I don't want to see that. I don't want to see hostilities towards other lodges, and I don't like it. So I will support whatever lodge I can if I'm available, if the wife takes the ball and chain off. But, you know, it doesn't happen a lot with the Shrine. So, you know, if I get to go to a lodge, it's awesome. So I went to a lodge last time I've never even knew was there, probably 6 months ago. It's a Jay Lodge over in Portland, Indiana. I didn't know it was there. Really? It was a busy lodge. So,
Jay County?
Yes.
Okay, yeah.
There's 92 counties in this state, by the way, if you didn't know that. 92. In a small state like Indiana, there's 92 counties. You know how many Masonic lodges there could be in each county?
One.
Oh, yeah.
That's a lot of Masonic lodges.
It's last I looked, because we're looking at the list for sending out postcards to lodges, I think we were 400 lodges.
Yeah, four twenty.
So there's like 400 or 500 lodges in the state of Indiana.
Not 500, around 400.
No, it was like four. I think it was like 434.
Something
but
like that. Yeah.
Yeah, it was something like that. We were counting to see how many postcards we needed to send to lodges about the Oklahoma team.
Right. Yeah. So, now let me ask you, Derek. You guys ever get involved in anything at Ball State? Like any of the fraternity things or sorority things?
Not really. Ball State is again, one of those things where it was, we used to do a lot, and the Shrine used to do a lot, and the Lodge used to do a lot. Now it's kind of like, we don't even want to do that anymore. We have Whitney. I know you've talked a little bit about Whitney Lodge. Whitney Lodge is here in Delaware County.
Right.
They have at the, their big fundraiser for the year is, we call it the Dinner Bell. It's a restaurant at the fair, but our fair is 2 weeks long.
Right.
I think it's, yeah, it's ridiculously long, so they have to do that. And I thought, you know, why can't we put a Shrine table and a Lodge table at the fair to get people interested with that also, you know?
Yeah,
we just don't. Yeah, but, you know, you have a week long of 4-H, and then you have a week long of the fair.
Right.
So it's...
That's actually... Yeah.
Mm-hmm. Okay. That's a long county fair right there.
Yeah.
You there lead about a week. For as far as 4-H goes.
Yeah.
I didn't have two. Yeah. I didn't know they were that long, really.
Yeah, Delaware County is just 2 weeks. Wow. My son does 4-H up in Adams County, and his is 4 days, and there's two restaurants, and that's it. There's not even a ride there. It's attached to a school.
Really?
So, yeah.
And I thought we were right neck down here.
No kidding.
No. He goes to Adams Central up there, up towards Fort Wayne and up that direction. And he goes through the same building, K-12, and next to his school is the fairgrounds.
Wow, that's crazy. I guess everyone has their own thing, so.
Yeah, so.
But you guys can put a booth out there at a fair easy.
Absolutely.
You got to have somebody there all the time and everything, but.
Well, I mean, it's really weird because the way they do it for, like, the booths and stuff like that, you're only allowed to do it from like 4 to 9 every night.
Oh wow!
They lock the building the rest of the time, and then the last day they send everybody home because they have a small town wrestling event.
Nice.
Now my ears perked. You see that? My ears perked.
Yeah. What organization?
Yeah, they do a wrestling event like they kick everybody out and then they do wrestling on the last day of the fair.
Like Greco-Roman or professional?
Like professional wrestling.
Oh, nice.
But it's
we got to shut this conversation down right now or this is going to go way off the rails. I promise you.
Wow. So
this is all right.
I forget what it's called, but yeah, they do it. So,
well, that's cool. I mean, you figure with all the students and everything out there at Ball State, you guys would somehow do something out there to get their attention, maybe join Freemasonry, or at least break something up. I mean, I know there's
the Shrine did the fair. They have a parade, but I know you guys have talked about like this festival and that festival you guys have down there, and
right.
I forget what it's called. We don't even have that here in Muncie. There's no big festivals here in Muncie.
Wow, I thought there was.
With a college town.
Yeah, you figured
a college town.
You got a watermelon bust, I guess.
Yeah.
That's really not something a lot need to be involved in.
Yeah. But, I mean, they used to have a St. Paddy's parade until last year. They aren't even doing the St. Paddy's parade this year.
Oh, wow. That's so crazy. Huh.
Yeah. So, but the Shrine was in the homecoming. We've talked to, I think, the Marauder, the Mizpah. One of them's coming down to one of the Ball State
homecoming
home football games. And they're going to do tailgating. I just don't remember which one, if it was Marauder or Miss Paul.
That'd be a good day.
Yeah, absolutely.
I've had a good time at a couple of Ball State homecoming tailgates.
Wow.
Yeah. And we're probably going to tailgate probably two or three of those at the Shrine Club.
That'd be cool.
So, yeah.
Well, anyway, you get your name out there, that's a good thing.
Yep. So.
Well, Derek, it is been a pleasure to have you on today, and I feel I'm happy, but I'm not happy because we didn't talk enough about your journey, but I'm happy because at the core of it we had good fellowship.
Oh yeah.
So I think when we talk to you again later on
June July
to help promote this event that you guys have going up, we'll get into more of it, but for now we're gonna go ahead and start to wrap it up, and there's only one question to be asked. It's the question
go ahead and ask
that we ask every Mason that ever appears on the show. And So when you lay down your working tools, and eventually we all lay down our working tools, nobody gets out alive. When people
stole
look,
my line.
Yeah, well, you were stretching. That's why.
Sorry.
Go ahead. Okay. Nobody gets out alive. Why, Todd?
Go ahead.
Okay. So, when people look back on you, and generally we ask more about Freemasonry, but some guys answer just in general. But what do you hope your legacy to the craft was? I mean, what do you hope people think back on you when they think of you as a Mason? What do you hope that you're remembered for? What do you hope your lasting impact was? You know, there's no wrong answer.
I've thought about this, and I don't want people to remember my name. I don't, you know, nobody can pronounce my name most of the time anyway. So I don't.
Hey, I got it right, though. I had to make sure. Yeah. I even asked last night. I was like, I think that's pronounced Scheibel, isn't it?
So. Yeah. So, but most people can't pronounce it. So it's, I don't want people to remember my name. I want it to be remembered as this is the time that Freemasonry grew around East Central Indiana.
Right.
This is where Freemasonry come together as a team. This is where the Shrine grew. This is where York Rite grew. That's where I want it to be.
Right.
That's what I want it to be. I don't care if people remember my name 100 years from now. I want them to remember this is the time that we made it back to what it was.
Absolutely.
That's a great answer.
Yeah, it is.
Well, Derek, thank you so much for being on the show today. It was great to talk to you. And again, we'll talk to you again around June or July to help, you know, Delaware Lodge promote the upcoming event that they have. And we thank you so much for your time today.
We do have 900 tickets with that, but we haven't sold a lot through Indiana, but Pennsylvania guys are buying it, Kentucky guys are buying it.
All right, well, we'll get the word out for our part, too.
Yeah, we'll do everything we can. So, all right, brother. Well, thank you so much for your time today.
Absolutely.
All right, we'll talk to you a little bit later.
All right, see you, brother.
Okay. Have a good day.
You too. Bye-bye. Well, Todd, that was a good episode.
That was a great episode.
So, we're awesome. Again, we're recording these sessions today from Line Lodge 743 in Jasper, as they have graciously allowed us to use their fellowship hall to record, as Bethlehem was occupied today. So we got more episodes still to come today. So for Brother Todd
and Brother Jared,
this has been another episode of That Other Masonic Podcast, and we will see you guys next time.
Thanks for listening to That Other Masonic Podcast, Indiana's first Freemasonry podcast. Be sure to check us out on our social media channels, Facebook, TikTok, and Instagram. The views and opinions expressed on this show belong to Brother Jared Atkins and Brother Todd Whaley and do not necessarily reflect the views and opinions of the Grand Lodge of Indiana.
Deuces.